Hello, this is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Yes, welcome to the show tonight.
Dom, do you know what I think the hardest thing about working in an office is?
Mm.
Sorting out every single day,
yep.
Monday to Friday,
mm.
what you're going to do for lunch.
Well, I guess because you make the decision before you're hungry for lunch here. Mm. It's not like you're hungry for lunch now. You're planning ahead.
And you're so busy.
Yeah.
Busy, busy, busy.
Mm.
I might have to eat at my desk.
Yeah.
What could I possibly get?
It's a nightmare.
Ask no more.
Mm.
Because over the weekend, Dom, I've come up with the best solution in the world
mm.
for work lunches. The best solution for yeah. eating at your desk. If you've been disappointed before because you had no time for lunch,
mm.
stick around because after 10:30 tonight,
yep.
I'm going to give solutions, baby.
Okay, now if someone's listening to this and they think, you know, I work different hours of the day, I have dinner at my desk, or
yeah.
does this work for all meals?
Is breakfast, this a-
yep.
lunch, and dinner. I yeah. have a hack that will solve
wow.
every one of them.
Okay.
Even late night snack.
Well,
you might be in an office right now listening,
yep.
thinking I can't get up from my desk. Well, stick around because you might not need to.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Got involved in a little bit of a neighbourhood-related dispute with my friend last night, Zach. I was walking the streets having a bit of a chat while carrying and drinking a cup of tea
mm-hmm.
In a takeaway coffee cup. And I went to, as I think is a very common thing to do, it was bin night in the suburb we're walking around, I went to somebody's bin, eye on their sidewalk, to put my cup of tea, my cup of the coffee cup in the bin and walk away. And this is when probably the most passionate fight I've had with my friend Josh erupts.
What did Josh say?
So Josh says, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Where do you get off?
Hey, that's essentially, and it was that tone. He was mad.
So you're surprised.
I didn't see anything wrong with what I was doing. And he says, you can't just put your rubbish in somebody else's bin.
Question.
Yeah.
Were the bins emptied or were they to be emptied?
It was late at night, full bins to be emptied the next morning. So it's bin night. The bins have been put out. I reckon by the time you put your bin out on the sidewalk, you've relinquished that to the council at this stage.
Yeah.
That's now public zone, right? Josh did not agree. Josh said, but what if the next morning they realise there's more rubbish they need to put in there, they run out onto the street to do it, and they realise you've put your cup in there and taken up all the space?
How big was your coffee cup? Is that, well, are we talking a large?
Yeah,
a grande?
It was a medium.
Hmm.
Or some would call a standard.
If we're talking large, extra large,
yep.
maybe your friend Josh might have an argument.
Jumbo.
But if you're thinking medium and under, you're dreaming.
Well, I don't, what, like, if you come down to that tight a space in your bin.
Well, did you crush it?
I didn't crush it, to Ooh. Be fair.
Well, come on. Have some dignity. A bit of respect for the neighbours.
The bin,
crush it up. Slide it down the side. Find a crevice it can fit in.
The bin I was going to put it in was half full.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is that these people have no rubbish coming from their lives.
Yeah.
Clearly, they're doing well for the environment. But they were not going to notice. They were not going to notice. No, and honestly, they would have woken up, brought their bin inside, no one would have noticed. But Josh would not let me do it. He made me carry that empty cup around for 30 more minutes before we got to a council bin.
Oh, so you had to fish it out?
Yeah, I had to get it back out of the bin. And he said, you can't, until you find a council bin, you're not allowed to put it in the bin.
Personally, I think that's fine. I mean, there is an upper limit.
Mm.
If you're filling a bin,
okay.
that's an issue. But
one
cup.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're a house owner, Zach. If you had your bins out and you saw someone walking along and you saw them put their coffee cup in your bin on bin night and you're watching from your front porch, reading a book late at night, just enjoying a late night out.
Well, that would never happen, but
yeah,
go on.
But do you spot this happening? How would you feel? Would you be running down with a torch? Get off
your
my
perceptions
lawn?
Of what I do at home. I'm very off. No, it wouldn't bother me at all.
Bother
I would
you?
Much rather than put it in the bin than drop it on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I, and that was another option I'd considered briefly. So 131060, I want to open this up. I feel like I'm in the right on this. Is it okay to put your rubbish in somebody else's bin?
I feel like this might have divided neighbourhoods before because I do know that bins are sensitive areas.
Well,
there are a lot of people who are like, don't touch my bin.
Yeah.
It's my property.
Surely.
I'm not really sure what the laws are about it.
Surely we can settle this and we can settle it. I mean, I'm not saying I'm taking 4 full bags of trash and stuffing it in a neighbour's bin. It's one standard sized cup. In a bin.
On 131060, Dom's going to take the decision of a jury. We have Nikki in Melbourne. What do you think, Nikki?
I think that it's totally fine. It's better than littering.
Thank you, Nikki. Look, I'm glad to hear that you're on my side. Now, how much do you think, before it crosses the line, how big does the rubbish have to be?
Like a coffee cup or your takeaway, like dinner is fine, but probably not like a full bag of rubbish.
Yeah, your takeaway dinner. Okay, I could get that to a full Macca's bag. That's not a bad idea. I like to know, I just want to know where the extremities of this one is. And I feel like Nikki's given us permission there to push it to a full bag.
When you're on your late night walks, yep. Do you often walk with your kitchen bin bag by the side? Just looking for a nice bin for it to go home.
Gemma is in Rockhampton. Gemma, where do you stand? Can you put your rubbish in other people's bins?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Thank you,
Gemma. As long as you're not putting it on the side of the street.
Yeah.
Have you really done this yourself, Gemma? Would you go this step?
Yeah. In my neighbourhood, if we don't see a bin out on the side of the street, we'll go around the back of their house and take it out for them.
Okay. Are you going over fence lines there, Gemma?
Pardon?
Would you open a fence? A gate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Technically, I think that might be trespassing. I don't know how close you are with your neighbours.
Look, that's an unusual one. And I would say on that front as well, if the bin is behind a fence, I'm not going to open the fence to put my rubbish in the bin.
That's a good question. Yeah. Where was the bin? Sidewalk?
Sidewalk.
Okay.
Right on the road. Walk straight past it. Simon on 131060, are you also on board with this?
Yeah, I agree with that last one. I reckon if it's bin day and she's out the front, then that's fair enough.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, here's an interesting one for you, Simon. What if it's bin day, but the bins have just been cleaned? Can you put it in an empty bin or is that off limits?
Well, I'd say that's off limits because depends what you're putting in. It might be stinky.
Yeah, that's true. We've got to draw the line somewhere.
And then they're stuck with it for a week. You know what I mean?
We live in a society that has to have rules. And what we've sorted out tonight, it's okay to put a medium-sized coffee cup into a bin that's about to be taken out.
Yep.
It's not okay to put either a large or a jumbo, a venti, a grande into a bin, especially if it has just been taken out and cleaned.
And where do we stand on opening people's gates and going around the back of their houses to take their bins out?
I reckon that's a no.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach has currently left the studio. He has his chef's hat on. He is out in the office cubicles, which means it's time for this.
Desk. Chef. Desk chef.
That's right, Dom. I am the desk chef. I am revolutionizing desk lunches. That's right.
Yeah, okay.
The worst part about working in an office is figuring out what you're going to do at lunch.
Mm.
Oh, no, I'm going to have to eat at my desk again. That means I won't have something cool. That's where you're wrong. Desk Chef is here to help.
Okay, well, can you just explain, because there's so many different chef shows on the market. Why? What makes Desk Chef so different?
Because no one is making a croque and bouche at home. So why would I want to see someone make that?
Okay.
But Desk Chef, it's relatable.
Right, so this is basically how to cook at your desk. How you can make a great meal without leaving the confines of your cubicle.
Who wants to know what we're cooking tonight? Dom, hit the drum roll.
Okay.
Potato gem kebabs. Okay. It's potato gems on a stick.
Is this a Desk Chef original creation?
Yeah. They all are. So what we have here, Dom, is it's gluten-free.
Yep.
It's vegetarian. It's vegan.
Mm.
All your friends from sales will be popping over your cubicle saying like, oh, what's that you've got sizzling on your sandwich press fit? In this situation, everyone has a sandwich press at their desk. That is BYO.
Well,
you will have to bring a sandwich press from home to be able to make the potato gem. Or you could actually take it from the kitchen, but everyone else might get upset at you if you do that.
I've never seen a cubicle with a sandwich press on it.
Well, that's fair. That's where you're living in the past.
Yeah.
No one will stop you if you brought a sandwich press to work.
Well, you know what? I guess a lot of people these days have laptops on the desk. They don't need the whole space for the big computer. So you've got room now.
What you need to do is open your top drawer. And actually, Dom, could we get some office atmosphere? Because I'm in this office at 10:30 at night. There's no one around. That puts us more into the feel. So in your top desk, you pull out your potato gems that you've been thawing since 9 a.m.
And okay, and this is midday in your mind.
Yep. And you got your skewers. What you want to do is you want to add between 5 and 6 potato gems onto your skewers after you have preheated your sandwich press.
Okay, and how many skewers are you making today, Zach?
I've got 3 in front of me at the
3,
moment, Dom.
Beautiful, great. So that's a total of 15 gems.
Okay, I'm opening up my sandwich press now. Dom, if you kill that atmosphere, we might be able to hear a sizzle here. Are you ready?
Yep, let's hear it.
Here we go. It didn't sizzle. Usually when people say all sizzle, no steak, we don't even get the sizzle.
No, we don't get the sizzle on this show.
Okay, what I'm doing that day is I'm putting potato gems down.
Yep.
I have about, you're getting about 18 potato gems here, and I'm closing sandwich press on top of them.
Okay.
I'm estimating that that's going to take us about between, probably about 6 minutes now that that's down. So I'm free. My hands are free.
Yeah.
I've got the food next for you. I can make a few sales calls if I want to.
Yeah, that's handy. And is there a smell wafting around the office of potato gems cooking?
If you want to have a lunch that's going to make all your co-workers jealous,
yep,
you got to have the potato gem kebabs.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll go to a song. On the other side of this, we'll see if these cook properly. We'll see if Desk Chef has done it again. Or for the first time, I should say.
Is Desk Chef's done it again? Is that the catchphrase?
We can work on that. We can
develop. Desk Chef has done it again!
All right, on the other side of this, we'll find out whether the potato gem kebabs can be cooked at a desk and if it works.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach is still out of the studio in the office cubicles wearing his chef's hat because it is...
Desk Chef. Desk Chef.
That's right, Dom. We are pushing the boundaries of what can be achieved in a cubicle at lunchtime.
Yep.
Today we're cooking potato gem kebabs. It's potato gems on a stick. Now, how do you cook that at your desk, you ask? Well, obviously you've brought your sandwich press from home. You've pulled that out. You've preheated it. You've put your potato gems on a stick. I've just been cooking those for about 5 minutes now.
And can I mention, the whole point of this is to save you time. During the song, I did pop out to the cubicle Zach's working from. You certainly could have been making sales calls or sending emails in those 6 minutes. It looked like it was working well.
Have a listen to how much typing I've been doing.
Yep. Jeez. I can hear the business being done.
So much business, people. This is what Desk Chef can bring to you. Okay, yep. Now I'm opening up our sandwich press. Okay. Let's see what 5 minutes on the sandwich press did for our potato gems.
Yep. How are they looking?
Ooh, they're looking pretty good, if I do say so myself. I'll bring out the best looking one for you, Dom.
Yeah, bring it into the studio. I should also mention at this stage, if you do walk through the radio station's office right now, there is a beautiful smell of cooking potato gems wafting through the office. So you'll certainly be whetting the appetite
to
of your co-workers.
To my knowledge, this hasn't happened before, Dom.
Yep.
I've seen vegetables.
Yep.
I've seen beef, chicken, lamb on a stick. Mm. I've never seen potato gems. I'm bringing them into the office. Here you go. You're getting your first look at a potato gem kebab.
Okay, so interestingly, Zach has decided to stack the potato gems on the kebab horizontally, not vertically. For some reason, I thought you'd go vertically.
No.
Don't know why.
Look at that, though. That looks great, doesn't it?
That actually looks really good. It looks a little bit like shrimp on a kebab.
It does.
A tiny bit.
Look at it. Look at that golden texture you get there.
They don't, I'll be honest, they're sliding down the kebab stick a little bit.
Okay. This is the first ever potato gem kebab.
Yeah, it is.
But look, in 6 minutes, we got a golden crunch on that.
And you got it at your desk. You didn't have to leave the comfort of your desk.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. All right, well, any great cooking show comes down to the taste test. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that's where I play the role now of Matt Preston, George Columbaris, etc., to test this.
The desk chef stands in front of you nervous.
Has the desk chef done it? Here we go. Tasting potato gem kebabs made at an office desk. Oh, it's hot. It's bloody hot. Oh, that's been in my mouth.
Well, I can't help to think that's your fault.
What? Ow. But.
Well, they're fresh off a sandwich press.
But in saying that, that's outstanding.
Say the magic words.
The desk chef's done it again.
The desk chef has done it again. He's done it. The desk chef has done it.
I will say that lunchtime at offices all around the world tomorrow will be completely different. Like, forget your packed sandwich from home. Forget bringing in a tub of tuna. This is what people are going to be doing.
Ladies and gentlemen, on your way home this evening, get yourself a bag of potato gems.
Yes.
A couple of skewers.
Mm.
And you too could be enjoying this delicacy tomorrow.
And when you start at a new company and they say, shall we get you a company-instituted computer? Say, no thanks. But if you can get me a company-instituted sandwich press, the amount of time I'll be able to save cooking these at my desk will save the company thousands.
Did the desk chef just increase productivity across the nation? I think so.
And invent a tasty treat while doing so. The desk chef's done it again.
He's done it again!
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, Pauline Hanson isn't giving up on her dream to marry Prince Harry.
This means too much to me, and I've hung on for the last 18 years.
Also, Niall Horan is upset that no one objected at the wedding.
That was just monotonous and boring and a real big anticlimax for anyone watching.
And Donald Trump visited Buckingham Palace.
I've read about this place for a long time. Where's that horse? I want to go on the horse. You want to hit the papers tomorrow? Let's get that horse. I'll ride that horse.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
If you've listened to the show before, you know each week we ask, beg, nay, plead for 5-star reviews on the iTunes podcast store, a.k.a. the Collective Noun Forum, a.k.a. the happiest place on the internet.
And it is so easy to get into the Collective Noun Forum. Leave your wallet in your pocket. All it's going to cost is a 5-star rating on the iTunes podcast store. Search for Collective Noun on iTunes. Leave that 5-star rating. And that is all you have to pay to get in, Zach. And then you're in the forum and you can enjoy a day of fun.
Who do we have frolicking this fine autumn eve?
Well, let's welcome in Ashwee0910 into the Collective Noun forum. I'm told by the icon that appears next to Ashwee's name that it is a UK review we have in the forum today.
All the way from the UK, obviously celebrating the recent nuptials of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
Well, I think what a treat it is to have somebody on from the United Kingdom this week of all weeks. They've just said that they've recently moved from Australia to the UK and began listening to this very podcast right before they left. And they were missing my laugh, apparently, while they were overseas. So they've jumped onto the podcast and have decided they're going to go right back to the beginning and listen from the beginning onwards on the tube on the way to work. And the fact that this podcast has made it onto the tube.
Well, that's great for us.
Isn't it? It's
an excursion for us. We love to go to these different places that we're taken by the people listening to this podcast, whether it's the Tube in London, whether it's the Caboolture Line in Southeast Queensland.
Yeah.
They're all as wonderful as each other for us.
Absolutely. And I like to think, Zach, that this means you and I don't have to travel ourselves. Because if our voices have been to the Eiffel Tower, if our voices have made Antarctica, that'd be amazing. Mm-hmm. If our voices have maybe made it to the Northern Lights, we don't have to go. We can stay right here at home.
Yep.
If there was one place, Zach, one location in the world that you would love the Collective Noun podcast to make it to, does anything in particular come to mind?
International Space Station.
That'd be pretty cool. I mean, how many astronauts are up there at the moment?
You can Google it.
Let's have a look.
Google how many astronauts are in space and it will tell you.
Did you see it came, where we are in Australia, it came over the top on, I think, Saturday night. You could see it visible. It was quite bizarre to see it about 6 o'clock.
Or did you go out and look at it, did you?
No, I was already outside, but I enjoyed it. It moves very quick. It's like a shooting star at quarter speed.
Yeah.
Maybe, no, that's at 1/10 speed, I reckon.
No, but what I'm asking is how did you know what it was?
Well, I saw like a light up in the sky moving quickly and someone next to me said, oh, that's right, it's the International Space Station.
Right.
And I looked it up. So
okay.
It's pretty cool though, quite impressive. It moves, I hope it moves quicker than it seems to be moving.
Well, how fast does a plane look like it's moving from the ground? Quite slow, but you know, because you've been in planes before, that they move quite quickly. Also by the fact that you can get around the world in 20 hours.
So is it just, it's just orbiting the Earth, is
correct,
that right? So how long would it take to do an orbit, the International Space Station?
I think 90 minutes. I don't know. Michael, producer Michael, do you know how long the International Space Station takes to orbit the Earth?
90 minutes is way too quick. Surely it's not.
I have heard it's like a sunrise every 90 minutes. 92, I was pretty close.
That's not bad.
You could watch a movie, a rom-com,
yep,
between every sunrise. Just get to the point where you're a bit teary, you look at the sunrise. Then get Ryan Reynolds right back on that screen.
Okay.
Well, that's probably not a good reference now. He's in Deadpool.
Yeah, that's true. Who do you reckon the main rom-com star is?
Gosling.
Gosling. But even he's kind of expanded his horizons a bit with Drive and things like that.
Yeah.
I still think Hugh Grant is the rom-com staple.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat Hugh Grant.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Mark Ruffalo, but he's the Hulk now. What is it with all these former rom-com stars going into blockbusters?
I think they're actors. They develop their roles. But yeah, International Space Station, how many people are on there?
6 in space at the moment.
There you go.
6 astronauts.
Well, that's pretty rare because they're probably not all English speaking either.
No, so we have, let me go through these. We have a Japanese flight engineer.
Yep.
We have three American flight engineers.
Well,
and we have 2 Russian flight engineers by the look of it. So
we're not very big in Japan or Russia or America.
No, that's so, true. That's
or
true.
Australia. So the chances of one of those astronauts listening is pretty slim.
So we have Scott Tingle, Richard Arnold.
What a great last name.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Richard Arnold and Andrew Feustel.
Can you imagine? You're in the International Space Station. There's only six people there.
Yeah.
Imagine every time the sunrise comes up, I bet one of the other astronauts looks at Scott and goes, does that give you the tingles? And he'd be like, I can't escape. I'm stuck here. He might just go, I'm going out.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. And they're like, no, you're going to die. And he's like, it's worth it. I need to get away from these jokes about my last name.
I'm thinking, why no TV station has jumped on a 24/7 live stream of the International Space Station yet? Surely that's like Big Brother on steroids.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rig up the International Space Station with cameras. I don't know how you do Friday night games. I'm not entirely sure.
I don't imagine it would be that interesting.
You don't reckon? I think the conversations would be amazing. Get hot dogs up there to add a little bit of spice to the whole proceedings.
I'm not sure if hot dogs is up to astronaut. I mean, there's no slide on hot dogs. I mean, most of us aren't up to the astronaut standard. That's why there's only a few of them.
Yeah. Well, tell me that you wouldn't watch hot dogs in space. If Channel 10 broadcast hot dogs in space every night,
yeah,
it would be the highest rating TV show of all time.
Would it still be that call-in game show? Because that would kind of be cool. He's just like, we're just traveling over Russia at the moment. And we have Dom on the line. Dom, do you know the answer to four across? Was it a crossword?
I don't entirely remember how it worked, but it was like 11
probably
o'clock
trivia.
At night.
Yeah.
And on Channel 10. And you'd call up and you'd win pretty average prizes, to be honest. It was often.
It was kind of like this show.
Yeah, pretty much.
11 o'clock at night, call up, win an average prize.
Well, did you ever watch Hot Dogs Up Late? Were you a fan of it?
Yeah, I watched it. I wasn't a fan per se.
See, I do it because I couldn't, like, I used to stay up late doing assignments when I was in early high school, and I'd often have hot dogs up late on. The best part of the show is when they hadn't had a call all night, and they were really begging for a call. And at one stage, Hot Dog said, I'll give you $100 from my own wallet if somebody calls right now.
What? Didn't get many callers?
No, I didn't get many callers, unfortunately. I don't know if that means that they weren't getting good callers, so they didn't put them through,
but
if they just weren't getting calls at all. But there was a stage where I did think I might be the only person watching this show.
I think during that period, every newspaper journalist was just waiting for a controversy so they could write the headline, Hot Dogs in Hot Water.
Really, he's an idiot that he didn't give himself a controversy, because that would have been, he would have been front page just because of the headline.
Oh, that would be a great caption for his Instagram when he's in a jacuzzi. Careful, hot dogs. Don't spend too long in there. Your skin will split. That's what I'd write as the comment. Sorry, we're just role-playing here.
What percentage of the people listening to the podcast right now do you reckon get all these hot dogs references?
Do
you think hot dogs is still well known
20%.
Enough? 20%?
Yeah.
So obviously he was, late 2000s Big Brother star.
And then he went on to have aforementioned call-up late night show.
And he's kind of faded since then into obscurity a little bit. Hot dogs is due a revamp.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether we get him into space for that or what exactly we do. But I think if there's one person that's ready to come back into the spotlight, it's Hot Dogs.
Of course.
That is all we got time for in the Collective Noun Forum tonight. If you do want to be a part of it, we'd love to have you on board. All you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating in the iTunes podcast store as your ticket price in. Write whatever you want in the review, and we'll read it out next time on the show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
I'm pretty upset at my friends at the moment, Zach. I went to dinner with a few of them over the weekend, Saturday night. It was a group bill situation. I put my hand up to pay for everybody, and I sit here 2 days later, despite numerous messages, nobody's paid me back.
I don't understand how you keep getting yourself in this situation.
This isn't
the first time that you've said you paid the bill for the whole table and no one's paid you back. What have you done to follow it up?
Well, at the moment I've sent 2 Facebook messages a day apart, and it's had that awful thing where I've just given my bank details and said, guys, I really need the money back. And everyone in the group, they've seen the message, their icons come up to show they've seen it. And I've been refreshing my bank account every hour or so. Nothing's come in. I don't know why they think I'm the sucker. We can get away with this with Dom, but they seem to keep doing it.
I think you need to up the ante. I don't think you're ever going to get the money back unless you start to bring in a bit of muscle.
Okay, what do you mean?
Well, what happens when you don't pay a bill
is
you get a call from a debt collector. So what happens if I call one of your friends who owes you $20 for a curry and I say that I'm a debt collector chasing it up?
I don't. That's a pretty extreme measure. I kind of feel a bit bad about setting a debt collector on them. But
well, you won't get the money otherwise. That's the facts of life.
I guess with the amount I'm losing from my friends doing this repeatedly, I do need to start taking some extreme steps.
So what are the details? Who can I call?
Okay, I'll put in, we'll go with my friend Timothy. I'll put his number in. So I'm pretty sure he ordered a hot lamb korma on the weekend. It was around about $22 all up with a naan bread that he owes me for. And he's one of the serial people. He never pays me
back. All right, we'll put the number in.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see how he goes with a call from a debt collector.
Hello?
Hello, is this Timothy?
Yeah.
Timothy, my name's Sam Robinson. I'm calling from Robinson Debt Collection. I'm calling about an outstanding debt you have.
Yes.
Are you aware of this?
I think I know who this actually is.
I understand you currently owe my client $22 for a lamb korma. That's outstanding.
I do owe Dom that, yes.
We will not have the name of Mr. Faye said in this instance.
I'm sorry.
It's my understanding that my client, Mr. Faye, put forward the funds to purchase a lamb korma on your behalf. Despite his repeated requests, he has not been reimbursed for said korma. Timothy, you've heard of what goes around comes around. That's karma. Well, the same goes for korma. And I'll have you know, if you are here planning on pulling a fast one on Mr. Faye, you have another thing coming. You have 24 hours.
Yes, sir.
Will you make the repayment?
Yeah.
Plus 10% interest.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's how you do it, Dom. That's how you get results.
Look, part of me is worried that it might have been too much, that we might have gone too far. But maybe this is what you have to do to stop this happening again and again.
What are the numbers of the other guys? We're on a roll. Let's push through.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom. This is Collective Noun's pet name game.
The game anyone with a pet can play. Give us a call on 131060 just by hearing your pet's name.
Yep.
We can figure out what type of animal it is.
We have Elise in Hobart. Elise, what's your pet's name?
It's Freckles.
Freckles. Okay. I'm thinking Freckles is a kind of cute, kind of maybe guinea pig.
It's definitely a pet that has markings on the face.
Yes.
And yeah. I think a cat would.
Cat would, actually. Freckles.
Yeah, you know, like a spot.
Freckles the cat almost sounds like a kid's storybook character, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And in fact, if it's not, that's a series you and I could make some money off, Freckles the cat. Let's go with that. Elise. Is Freckles a cat?
No, he's definitely not.
What's Freckles?
He's a blue-tongued lizard.
Okay. Why Freckles?
Because of the blotch sort of speckledy pattern all down him.
Yeah, that's a good name. That's a good name.
You're allowed to keep blue-tongued lizards as pets.
Yeah, if you have a reptile license.
I used to think when I was a kid the blue-tongued lizards were just normal lizards who'd had a blue ghost drop for a long time.
No. They don't seem to enjoy those as much. And what, permanently?
If you saw a lizard with a blue tongue, they just had the equivalent of a blue ghost drop to change their mouth
color. Would they purchase the ghost drop themselves?
I don't know. This was when I was six or seven.
Was there an insect in the world that turned their tongue
Well, when blue? When I was young, my only knowledge of changing the color of your mouth was a ghost drop. So that was the reasoning.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I spend a lot of time around you. Your scientific method hasn't changed since then. You still come to similar conclusions.
We've got Vivian in Sydney on 131060. What's your pet's name, Vivian?
My pet's name is Onyx.
I remember Onyx being a rock Pokemon from Pokemon.
Yeah, Onyx was, I think Brock had an Onyx, if you watch the TV series as closely as I did.
Could it be a lizard? Because Onyx kind of looked like a lizard.
It was a rock snake, I'm pretty sure. Snake or lizard, that's where I'm thinking.
Okay, snake. I'm happy to go snake.
Or a really strong animal. But I like snake. Vivian, is Onyx a snake?
Nope.
What is it?
It's a bunny. He's black and grey and brown like the gemstone Onyx.
Gemstone Onyx. We weren't Pokemon Onyx. It was Jim's. I mean, we just didn't get our references right there. That's our fault.
Well, I think that's where Pokemon is referencing as well, Dom.
Yes, I think you're probably right. No,
I don't think The Rock got the name from the 1999 cartoon Pokemon.
There's my scientific method at play that Zach was talking about just a minute ago.
Peter, in Brisbane, what's your pet's name?
Panic.
Panic. Okay.
Panic at the Disco. Is there an animal that panics a lot?
I was thinking Panic at the Disco, the band.
Yeah, do they have an animal?
Well, is there an animal that you'd see at a disco?
Yes! Oh! But it's in Brisbane. I don't think you can keep these in Brisbane.
Yeah.
In one of the film clips, they have a bunny that they pull out of a hat, I think, like a magician.
Do they?
Yeah, in that big song. What's the big Panic at the Disco song? Whatever it is.
Thanks for the memories,
that's
then.
That's it. I think that's it.
Yeah, that's them. Look, it's possible.
But I don't think you can have a rabbit in Queensland.
I just need to stop and congratulate you. That is amazing recall on a music video from 10 years ago.
I watched it recently because Kim Kardashian's in it before she's famous.
Did not know that.
Yeah, she plays the female love interest.
Well, I feel like we've spent a minute talking about the music video. We've lost our reasoning
time. If we don't guess one tonight, you take away that tidbit.
That's it.
Go look that up.
Yeah, not bad. All right, I reckon we just back ourselves in. Peter is panic.
Peter, panic is a cat.
No.
Yeah. What is it, Peter?
Panic is a tarantula.
Okay. Well,
that's a good name.
That's a great name.
That's what most people would do when they saw it.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach, a little earlier on in the show tonight, you did launch Desk Chef, which is where you don your chef's hat. You go out to a cubicle here in the office and you teach people how they can make meals from the comfort of their desk without having to get up.
Cooking from your cubicle. That's what we're calling it.
That'll be the name of the cookbook. Yep. Cooking from your cubicle, the Desk Chef's recipes.
And I think we blew everyone's mind because we made potato gem kebabs. Potato gems on a stick.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And if you've got a sandwich press at your desk, you can make it yourself. You can grab the podcast to get that one.
We recommend if you don't have a sandwich press at your desk, bring one from home.
Yeah, right. Now, the Desk Chef went so well that I imagine there'll be future sittings, future episodes of Desk Chef. I've got a suggestion, a proposal.
A Dear Desk Chef.
A Dear Desk Chef. And look, if you want to write in a Dear Desk Chef, feel free to. The Desk Chef takes correspondence.
Hit me up. What do you got?
Dear Desk Chef, I love toasting marshmallows as we're coming into the colder time of the year. Mm. It's one of my favourite things about when you're anywhere near a fireplace. The issue is, however, I don't have a fireplace at home and rarely do I visit a bonfire. And sometimes I just want to toast a marshmallow at my desk in the middle of the day. Yeah. Can the Desk Chef recreate a toasted marshmallow from a cubicle?
The answer is yes.
Hang on, do you need to put the chef's hat on to answer as the Desk Chef?
Sorry.
Put that, because now you're just Zach at the moment.
I'll go get him.
You do that. Check the...
Oh, who's this? the Desk Chef.
So the Desk Chef, just catching you up, the request was a toasted marshmallow from a desk.
Yeah, Zach told me.
Yeah, right.
me as the Desk Chef is 100% confident that the Desk Chef can figure out a way of doing that.
Wow, great.
I don't know how yet.
Yep.
I don't know when, but I vow the Desk Chef will discover a way to toast marshmallows in your cubicle. Cooking from your cubicle! It's the Desk Chef!
Great. Well, thanks, Desk Chef, for popping by again for the end of the show there. Great to have you.
It's good to be here.
And I look forward to that. Many installments of the Desk Chef to come. That is what got
you know, you can be your own Desk Chef. Yep. It's really about what's in the heart.
Okay. Well, now you, I don't know, why are we getting philosophy? What's happened from the Desk Chef?
Have you ever seen what happens at the end of Captain Planet? Where they say that everyone can be planeteers? That's what we're doing with Desk Chef.
If you want to hear the full show back from tonight, search for Collective Noun on iTunes. You can get the podcast there. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.
Bye!
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.